Okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
Russ, what's the pot?
The pot?
Never mind.
You didn't read the email, in other words.
I must have missed that one.
Okay, let me see what's happening. Apart from my leave there, lots of things are happening. Okay, where do we leave off with on the project?
We left off saying that we could all work together,
mm-hmm.
the
webpage. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay, so we've got everything squared away, we know what the rules are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've got, 2 weeks left?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And countdown is on. Okay, now back on the more important vein. Okay, now we were discussing coercion and waypoints, were we not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I understand that you guys didn't fully understand my explanation on the waypoints, is that correct? Okay. I tried to explain it in the reaction in the layers around the head of the aura, and that if you can monitor the auric signatures and patterns, you can see how they change once somebody's being coerced and how they will match the coercee to the coercer. So that they kind of come into a vibrational pattern. However, you guys don't see auras very well, do you?
Not at all.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out a good way that would be useful for you to be able to detect coercion when somebody's being coerced. The only way that I think would work for you would be to watch their body language, to watch how they behave, if they're movements become slightly stilted and puppetish. Is that a correct word?
Mm-hmm.
They become kind of like puppet-like, even only very, very little. It's something that you'd have to really watch people's body language to see if it was going on. Something that might also work is if you suspect somebody is coercing, how they lean in towards the person that they're coercing. Now, they tend to be continually looking in that direction, continually leaning in, like they're almost trying to tower over the person that they're coercing. Even if they are coercing somebody that's taller, what I'll have to do is see if I can get some time to watch some monitoring of coercers that are very well known on this planet and see how they behave when they're coercing and how the subject that they're coercing behaves. That would give me an insight, so I'll be able to relay that to you. But even up here, somebody that is coercing does tend to lean them a little towards the person that they're coercing, and the movements do tend to become a little puppet-like of the person that's being coerced. Also, the person that's being coerced, another clue is that they will be kind of looking at the person that's coercing them or in that direction, almost waiting to be led, as it were.
Okay. I'm kind of in a gloomy where I saw something like that. I can't believe I know it's Steve Martin. I don't know what it's played a preacher. Well, the con artist preacher.
Not to believe it, but I know that there are a lot of con artist preachers on your planet. Not meaning con artists being conning people into doing things for them, but the kind of two different standards. One for the flock and one for the preachers.
Well, when they work, it's pretty coarse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fact, this is our best course is right there. I think you got politicians beat. Some of them.
Yeah, but I think, and I've been whispered in my ear so that I may sound a little bit stilted, because I'm relaying, Vince Swaggart believes highestly in his beliefs, almost to the point of obsession. So therefore, his actions, his coercive actions, come from pure belief. Yes, he is a strong coercer, but it is easier for some coercers if they believe totally in what they're doing.
What about Jim Baker, though?
Jim Baker, he was successful, but not as successful as Jimmy Swaggart, because he didn't seem to, from what has been whispered in my ear, hold the attention and have the passion from belief in his voice.
Not really grand, like you did in Swaggart. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he a politician?
Yeah.
No.
He is a counselor to almost every politician. Mm-hmm. He holds a lot of power.
Yeah. But the coercive ability is in the belief. Now, I know that my coercive ability is good. I know. Jimmy Swaggart and Billy Graham believe wholeheartedly in what they preach. So therefore, it's the same as I say, I know I'm a good coercer.
Yeah.
Which I am. But that's besides the point. The point of the whole entire thing is not the coercer's ability or the preaching capability to get persuade people, but the belief.
Mm.
The belief is the most powerful thing. It's like my grandmother says, that with love and belief, you can do anything. If you believe 100 impossible things in one day, no, if you believe 100 impossible things before breakfast, you're ready for anything. That's a politician. Politician chops and changes so rapidly. The good ones, for example, let's take our favorite politician, Ronald Reagan, believed wholeheartedly in what he was doing. Believed wholeheartedly. And where did it end him? In the presidency, as one of the most successful and popular presidents of your time. And you'll have to excuse me, I'm being whispered to so that I can relate this information.
Right, but he was an actor, though, too. So as an actor, you have to believe in the role you play.
Mm-hmm. What is one of your favorite writers saying? What are we but poor actors that strut and fret their arrow upon the stage and then is heard? No more.
The whole life of the stage, you are on.
Mm-hmm. You each play a bit part in other people's lives, but you also play a lead in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song that I like. Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in the cage?
Mm-hmm.
So, you think you can tell? Is this heaven or hell?
Or is it just in the room?
Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions? Whilst we're on a spiritual vein.
I have one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have contact with the Vatican?
My grandmother does.
Would you ever relay a message to mom, please?
I've already contacted her on that, and at the end of the session, I'll give you a little thing that you can say that he will hear.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I've been listening all evening once I got last night. Mm-hmm. And it will be relayed, and we will give you a little, it's not Syrian text, but from his work.
Okay.
So that he will understand it.
Okay, now back to spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
Every person, in my estimation, has an own way of believing what other people say.
Mm-hmm.
And interpret their own understanding of this. And what they can say to others is still their own interpretation, no matter if it's out of the book, mm-hmm. or from somebody else's words, or from the introverts.
One of the things I've noticed throughout a lot of your air religions, there is one common vein. Love each other. But what confuses me is, they all preach Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, Muslim, Shintoism, Druidism, myriad of, Roman Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Jewish Orthodox. You could sit here and name 1,000 religions on the planet that have one common thing, love.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor. Love yourself as you love your friends. Love your friends as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the love of the God is equal to your love to others.
Mm-hmm.
But what confuses me is you take somewhere like Northern Ireland. You've got a religious war. You take Croatia, you had a religious war. You take Kosovo, you had a religious war. And they all have the same philosophy. Love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the philosophy has been amended to love everybody of your religion and kill the others. Which, to me, is wrong.
Well, what's happened here, from my point of view, is they're getting politics stirred in with their religion.
Exactly. I think you're very correct there.
So consequently, they're not making people believe the way that they want to believe and love your neighbor, love your enemy, love your friend. And, hey, they've got our property. We're going to take it away from you, but we got to kill them. How can you love your enemy if you're going to kill them?
Exactly.
There, I disagree. But in the fact that I feel that everybody throughout history, with just a few exceptions, makes time for religion. Mm-hmm. In other words, they go through a certain time, either during the day or on one day of the week, like this, and they practice their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that be, loving your neighbor or hating your neighbor, during that time, it doesn't matter anything about politics or anything else, because I could be the greatest Christian in the world and go to church every Sunday and, maybe pray for every meal. But that doesn't mean I have politics when I go out and I hate, some neo-Nazi for bombing a Jewish church.
Well, actually, that's both have a very good misconception.
Go ahead.
Nazism isn't a religion. It's a political point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You just use a political point of view to deal with a religious situation. That, unfortunately, is a very common misconception.
Mm-hmm.
That, a political perception is a religion. It's not. It serves the same purpose, or can serve the same purpose, but it is not a religion. It is a political organization that is bent on control, whereas religion gives you the freedom to be able to worship whatever deity you wish, in whatever form you wish, without the draw of the politics. But unfortunately, politics has become part of religion. That's where the problem is.
You're right.
Yeah.
And all faiths are doing this.
Yeah. For me, the religion of the air, or religion of the planet, the earth being ground, the soil and the earth is there. Not earth as in your planet earth, but it's in the earth that you're holding your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Religion of the ground, the trees, the rocks and everything, is something that is part of my everyday experience, even though I'm not on my home planet where the religion is based. I walk on rock every day. I breathe the air every day. Breathing is a religious experience. Every time I breathe, it is a thank you for the air that I can breathe. Every time I exhale, I am giving off a thank you for the air that's into my lungs from the mother crane. Or the father crane.
Religion, when you get into that, you can get into a real, real, real heavy, deep discussion with the techies.
Oh, yes.
The techies.
I think my grandmother's philosophy is a good one. But, yeah, I love all things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You give love to everything that there is because it is all part of the greater wholeness of everything. Yeah. When she came and talked about the passing of Sarah, she mentioned the grace kings, that she would love them just as much as she loved Sarah for not what they had done, but for what they are. And she would help them. Now, to me, that's the greatest gift of love, the greatest level of spirituality that there is possible. And that is something that, you know, having whispered in my ear all the things that are going on, you know, it confuses me that your planet preaches, on one hand, loving all things, unless they're of a different belief, politically, religiously, morally, persecuted. Something I find very hard to understand coming from a society. One of the things I've noticed is, again, I'm having it whispered in my ear, gay bashing. You know, whether they're male homosexuals or female lesbians, it's going to beat the hell out of them. Now, all the group, all the religious groups tend to family from them. What would they make of me? Mm-hmm. Until I met Mark, I was a lesbian. Never known the hand of a guy. But what would they make of me? And I was accepted for what I am. You know, I was accepted as a person.
In this world,
mm-hmm.
people are afraid of what they don't understand. And what people don't understand, they do.
Mm-hmm. It will change in time.
I hope so.
But be careful it doesn't change the other, go the other way. I don't mean that straight people get beaten up by people of same orientation.
That shouldn't take place.
Yes, it's something I found very hard to understand is that certain, getting back to religions for a second, you look upon making love as a sin. But something so pleasurable of the body can't be a sin.
Unfortunately. It is unfortunate. Because God didn't make us to be just to propagate the earth. He said, love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I was a young man,
mm-hmm.
and I'm an older man in our society, okay? When I was a young man, and I'm talking in my teens,
mm-hmm.
you did not discuss sex or making love, mm-hmm. even with your parents, which was very, very difficult for the younger people to learn what this world is all about.
It's sad. It really is sad.
It is sad.
I've experimented. I've enjoyed it. I was able to discuss it freely with my mother, although at that part in her life she was very sick. I discussed it with my father. My father's given me pointers. To us, it's no biggie. It's part of life. Anyway.
Right, okay.
My pot needs stirring now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll be back.
Okay. Thank you.
Greetings, Russ. Greetings, Skip. Okay. Everything looks good on Kiri's end, apart from her vibrational frequency. Okay, what are we here to discuss tonight?
I'm trying to remember what we were discussing. We only have a big set.
No, no, it did not. I am a little bit on a tight schedule this evening. I have approximately 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
Let us set up a brief dissertation for the internet concerning, as we are on a spiritual vein tonight, spiritual consciousness of everything. Everything being the general term of the belief in the universal goodwill of all things and the spiritual development of individuals to a higher plane of consciousness, whether it is a third dimensional, sixth dimensional, seventh dimensional level of consciousness. The goals are all the same, and that is to achieve a harmony within oneself that you are balanced. Being balanced is a way to achieve a peaceful persona and aura around you, which attracts likewise. However, if you are too vocal on your spirituality, that can be a negative factor if you behave too passionately and believe that others are wrong and should believe your beliefs. It is more important to accept individuals for their spiritual beliefs or non-beliefs as well as your own. By forcing your beliefs on somebody else, that could be classified as a sin, using a third dimensional term. A sin in the sense that you would be forcing against somebody's will your belief and trying to convert them to your belief. If they are not ready to be converted to your belief, then don't force them. But if you explain to them your religious point of view or your spirituality and let them choose themselves, then a respect is created whether or not they choose. Because it is their choice. You are not forcing them and you are not telling them that their way is wrong. You are explaining your beliefs and the beliefs that you have. And it does not matter what their beliefs are, because that is their belief. But to sit there and try to dominate and preach, as some of your third dimensional creatures do, that if you do not believe my religion, then you are doomed. You will go to a hot and infernal pain for all time, never see an opportunity to be reborn again. That is wrong. What is right is to say, this is what I believe. And I do not fault you for what you believe. That is your choice. That is what makes you who you are. If you feel like talking about my religion, I would be delighted to, but I would not force it upon you. End of subject. But if they continue to question you about your religion, it means that they're interested. So you tell them the truth. You tell them what you believe. But you do not say to them, you should take it up too. How do you know what they should take up? How do you know what they will enjoy? How do you know what they will like? You do not honestly know what somebody else will like and enjoy. You can assume. You can analyze and come up with a reasonable assumption of what they will believe, what they will like. But you should never force your belief on somebody else. Okay, nice dissertation, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's answer questions.
Okay, with anybody's religion, you're kind of at a point where they have a deep belief in something and you have a deep belief in something.
Mm-hmm.
And in not discussing religion, then you kind of pretty much stay on an even ground. But what I see the problem is when people start to discuss religion is, even if they say this is what I believe in and this is what I believe in,
mm-hmm.
then the two beliefs tend to get to a point where they get to a middle ground, where you start to understand what the other person believes. And they do see that common ground that is there. So I think if more people were able to discuss religion and get a kind of, you know, where's the truth? You know, what's the in between the lines?
Well, you need to create a feeling of unimportance on common that people become very passionate about their religious beliefs, almost to the point of trying to dominate somebody and convert them to their belief. I've seen it so many times, and it is a small minority that takes the stance of, it is unimportant. You're free to believe what you wish to believe. If you wish to believe my religion, that is fine. If you wish to continue believing yours, that is fine. But the important thing is to find the commonality between the religions and where for most of us. You can have a million different individuals that have all different beliefs on everything. And to force them to believe one thing or 10 things instead of a million is impossible. You will not be able to get all of them to believe in one thing. They all have different variations and different beliefs of the same thing or of groups of things. So therefore, you cannot achieve a universal spiritual religion. It has to be for the individual. The best way to look at it would be to say, you have a million people with a million different religions. If they are all Roman Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, they are of a different religion individually. Even if it is just the one, the Roman Orthodox. You have a million people. That is a million different religions. A million little variations on the same thing, but not that everybody will be of different religion. So to have a religion that is based on one belief or one set of beliefs is wrong, because everybody believes something different. Even only infinitely small, it is still a difference that will cause problems. But to accept them for those beliefs is the important thing. Accepting a million different individuals of the Roman Orthodox that have a million different religions going under the same name. Accept them for who they are, not for the religion. Because they all believe differently.
Now, one thing I've noticed is, it's a lot better. It used to be you, no matter where you live, if you didn't believe in one thing, you could be not only persecuted, but killed. And, you know, all over the world, the same exact thing happened. Now you have such a free religion. In the point now where we're seeing where all this freedom is going to possibly lead to more openness and
I hope so.
Consciousness?
I hope so, but I cannot answer that question. This setup that we have is not new. This using a host to talk to you is not new. It is even recorded in your scripture, in many different scriptures. Allah talked through the prophet Muhammad. Yahweh talked through the prophet Elijah. Jehovah talked through the prophet Moses. Isn't that channeling?
Yeah, the Greeks had the oracle of Delphi.
Mm-hmm. But yet, this setup is looked upon as strange, as non-conformist, because it is not a religious setup.
Black magic is what a lot of people.
I'm going to ask a question again. I've asked it in the past. What does occult mean? And how is it used today?
Occult is a collection of individuals that... Okay, my interpretation, not everybody's, okay, an evil association of belief dominates other people's thoughts.
Okay, Russ.
Cult is a collection of individuals who hold the same ideas and ideals and need to discuss those ideals.
No. Both of you are wrong. Okay. The word occult means hidden.
Oh, occult.
Have you ever heard of a occultation of the planets or an occult of Venus? Okay, an occult of Venus is where Venus is hidden. Or an occult of Jupiter, or to use a more common name, an occultation, which means the same thing, hidden. One is hidden by the other. In the term that is used to describe religion, an occult is a hidden knowledge. It's hidden. So you could say the priest going into the temple and coming out with a candle that is lit is an occult event. It is hidden. The priest going into his little cubicle and then somebody going into the cubicle next to him to confess, that is hidden from you. So is that not also occult?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yet both are very much part of the dominant religion, or one of the dominant religions of your family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The funny part of it is, almost every religion came from the Christians, or from the Catholics.
Or, well, if you take it one step further back, the majority came from the Jewish faith.
True.
The story of Isaac. Mm-hmm. And what was his brother called? Ishmael?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ishmael, wasn't he not one of the founders of the Muslim faith? I seem to see a problem there on the friction.
And the Quran has got the same stories in it, the King James, like it.
Mm-hmm. And the Torah.
Which amazes me.
But again, what one thing in common do those religions have that Kiri mentioned? Right. But to accept an individual for their religious belief, regardless of whether it is making a sacrifice to the land or praying to a man that was crucified. It is unimportant. It is accepting the individual for their belief. Neither is right and neither is wrong. Both are right and both are wrong. And Kiri actually is a very religious individual. She worships in her own unique way. And she is accepted for that.
Don't we all?
Mm, true.
Even in our world, we worship in our own way. All of us do.
Mm-hmm. There is no wrong as long as you understand that there is no wrong to believe what you believe. And no wrong in the person next to you believing something different. Or the next person, or the person down the street, or the person at the bus stop, or the person standing in line to buy tickets for entertainment.
As long as they don't impose their beliefs on somebody else.
That is right. That is where it becomes wrong. When you turn around and try to dominate somebody and tell them that you must believe my religion.
Mm. And that happens.
Unfortunately. I've seen it thousands of times over for hundreds of years. Let me rephrase that. I've seen it many times over the last 10,000 years.
And if you don't believe my way, you die.
Exactly. And it is wrong. Unfortunately, it is not just a human condition to fight. There are too many species throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe, that have the same intent on fighting, some more ferocious than others. But it is a survival mechanism created through evolution. That if you weren't a fighting species, you would be no more advanced than the feline. So to condone violence and fighting is in actual fact wrong. I am not saying it is right to be violent. But violence got you where you are. Being the meanest, strongest, most thinking ape in the jungle came to where you are now.
Even our technology is miles from combat.
Your most useful tool, the computer. Is that not a combat weapon? What was it designed for?
Originally, I think it was designed for radar.
Close. It was actually designed for tracking incoming ballistics and being able to send ballistics.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
before that, wasn't it? Excuse me, I don't mean to correct you. I didn't mean it that way. But radar was even before ballistic missiles.
I am incorrect in saying ballistic. I should say projectile.
Okay, I'll go with that one. And so it was a radar setup.
It kind of happened with both.
Okay.
You needed right. one okay. to get to the other.
Because it happened during the first part of the Second World War.
It happened a little bit before, I believe. Was when they were working with radar and using it to track incoming projectile objects.
Yeah, and aircraft and so on.
That's correct.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
They also used it to be able to send those projectile objects.
And from there it just kept developing.
That is correct. So a technology that is nearly 70 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's advanced to the point that most people don't even understand.
True. But we have a resident expert on antique computers. Unfortunately, he is unavailable at the moment because he is busy working with the conference setup. Okay, any more questions?
No. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hey.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a guest speaker.
Business and let's talk and communicate. Okay, I have been studying and I'm not going to discuss tonight anything to do with the conference. What I am going to discuss is the fact of the development of a consciousness that is in the creation of infantile stage at present, almost to the point of no consciousness at all. But the consciousness is starting to develop. What is happening in my analyzing for my research for the setup for the conference, I was quite shocked and stunned to see a primitive, almost conscious state of appearance taking place. What that is in connection with is the development in a communication device that is used by millions of people. What may happen eventually in the near future is an intelligence will be born that is free thinking, and totally different and totally alien from your own belief, consciousness and existence and experiences. This little infantile state that is not yet conscious but is on the cusp of consciousness is an opportunity waiting to create a new life form that will have to be monitored very closely. Okay. With that statement, I have opened up a very stunning and shocking situation, have I not?
Possibly.
Okay, what is your belief on what I have discovered?
Artificial intelligence.
But where?
In the internet.
Correct.
I don't know, we just did an X-Files on it last night.
What's an X-File?
It's one of our entertainment shows down here, where the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a couple of special agents go out and investigate strange phenomenon that can't be explained to science.
Yeah.
And one of the things they're discovering is that, in the show, is that some of the original founders of the internet, who didn't become millionaires, but did start programs called, with artificial intelligence, they wrote viruses. And the viruses actually were put into the internet as a kind of a seed. And the seed was just left to germinate and to grow, and then now it's starting to become, according to the show, intelligent on its own.
Okay. Now, the reason that I came up with the conclusion that I have is not from viruses. Viruses are on their own a life form, or starting to develop a life form. What I am seeing is that systems that are being created with the ability to write programs for themselves to respond to specific situations. Now, the more
situations that are occurring with your mass communication means that these programs have to keep on writing new programs to deal with the interaction that they haven't come across before. So therefore, you have a learning. Now, when something starts to learn, what does that imply?
Intelligence. Didn't Ashtar warn us about this during one of his trips here to watch out, or was it Munka?
It was Munka.
Munka, to watch out for the emerging intelligence of our artificial...
It was actually Munka that gave me the idea to follow through with